John chapter 11, verses 18 through 26. And there you find these words. John chapter 11, 18 through 26. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that the Jews was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Look at your neighbor and tell him, keep the faith. Amen. You may be seated. For the next few moments on Victory Sunday, I want to speak from the subject, now faith. Now faith. In order for verses 18 through 26 and continuing to have a real meaning, we must first of all take a look back into John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus is looked upon and is recorded and giving this narrative to his disciples. He is sitting here trying to explain to this new group of individuals about his authentic relationship between he, his disciples, and God. It is in John chapter 10 that we hear him talking about the Good Shepherd. And he begins to explain to them what a good shepherd is and how a good shepherd conducts himself. As he moves now toward the end of chapter number 10, he begins to talk to the Jews and tell the Jews that I am the good shepherd. And no one basically can get to my Father except they come through me. And then he gets to the place where he says, I and my Father are one. It is at this time that the Jews begin to pick up stones to stone Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus even asked them, he says, why would you want to stone me for the good works? And their response was, it's not because of good works we want to stone you. It's because of blasphemy. As the Jews continued to pick up their stones, there was Jesus and the disciples. Now they begin to move away from the place of Bethany. Yes, sir. As they're traveling away, they distance themselves from the troubled Jews who did not want to accept the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not want to accept the fact that Jesus and God was one. And now they have been separated from them. And it's at this point that Jesus gets the news that where he was in Bethany, his best friend Lazarus had died. So now we begin to understand the backdrop and understand verses 18 through 26 a little bit better. Jesus has a relationship with this family, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Every time Jesus would come into Bethany, he would spend time with this family. He would eat with this family. He would stay with this family. They were friends of Jesus, and Jesus was friends of this family. And so now, at the time when they need Jesus the most, now they're dealing with this issue of death and of sickness that's leading to death. When Lazarus dies, Jesus is nowhere to be found. The Bible says that he gets the news, and even when he gets the news, he stays where he is for two more days. He gets the news. It's 2 days he gets the news. He stays for two more days, which means now for 4 days, this family who loves Jesus, this family who has been a good friend to Jesus, has not heard from Jesus. I don't know how you feel about it, but I can't go 1 day without hearing from Jesus. I can't go 1 hour. I can't deal with a whole morning unless I talk to Jesus. And not only do I want to talk to him, I want to exercise the discipline of silence and be quiet and let him talk to me. And so here they are for 4 days wondering, where is our best friend? Now think about if that was you, and think about if I was your best friend, and every time I came to Denver, I stayed in your house, and you made sure I had the best food and the coldest water and the warmest of beds, and you made sure that Paul and I were just so comfortable, and then one of your loved ones passed. You didn't get a text message. You didn't get an email. You didn't get a phone call. You didn't get a word of condolence. You didn't even get a plant at the funeral. Think about where you would be emotionally, psychologically, when you saw us the next time. Now, I know you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, but at that particular time, your emotions are getting the best of you. Now you understand what this family is dealing with. And so here the story progresses. As Jesus begins to move back to Bethany, he has his disciples behind him in his ear saying, "Why do you want to go back to the place where they wanted to stone you?" So they are following Jesus because that's the only thing they know to do. As Jesus begins to get close and as the rumor and the murmuring of his presence starts to echo through the community, in verse number 18, it says when he's 15 furlongs off, verse 20 says Martha began to hear it. Verse 21 says she goes to where Jesus is and starts a conversation with Jesus. She is dealing with her emotions. She is dealing with her psychology. She is dealing with the disappointment that her best friend did not even call, send a letter, or show up when her brother died. Now, y'all can sit there and look at me strange, but you know, you get mad when somebody don't call you back sometimes. Somebody will text you, "Oh, you didn't even text me back." And here is a serious matter. When you lay a loved one to rest, and this individual who is supposed to be your best of friends, your most valued friend, is nowhere to be found. I love Martha, because even though when she went out to meet Jesus, she could have reacted out of her emotion and reacted out of her mind, she honored him and reacted out of her spirit. Look at what it says in verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still. Verse 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died." It was at this point, if you're writing this morning, that Martha displays and demonstrates what we want to call past faith. She said, "If you would have been here." In other words, if you would have been here in the past, the situation I'm dealing with right now would never have ever come to a reality. And the reality of it is, my brothers and sisters, all of us have some situations in our past that we often say, "If Jesus would have been there, I wouldn't be where I am today." But our past relationship, our past faith, is really the driving force for who we are today. Jesus may not have shown up all the times you wanted him to, but guess what? You woke up this morning and knew it was Sunday. You woke up this morning and knew how to get to true life. You're in here right now to praise God because God has been good to you in the past. I wish I'd say amen today. And so understanding my relationship with God and not hanging it out on the time he didn't do what I wanted him to do. She goes to him and she speaks to him and she says, "If you would have been here." Now, the real answer, my brothers and sisters, is that Martha is wrong. He would have died. Because when you read the beginning of John chapter 11, he says, "This must happen that you may see the glory of God." Because there were people who were walking with Jesus, but really didn't know who he really was. There were people calling on the name of Jesus, but really didn't. They wanted the provisions of Jesus, but they didn't want the person of Jesus. See, it's one thing to say, Lord, help me or heal my body. And then when you're helped or your body is healed, for you to pass by the church and never stop being. But when you want Jesus, whether he heals you or help you or not, you're going to come to the presence of where he is. That's why you get up to come to his house on Sunday morning. And at this location is his house by the name of True Light. Are y'all going to talk back? And so we go to his presence. And Martha went to Jesus and she said, if you would have been here. But Martha didn't realize that they were part of a bigger purpose. That the pain and the inconvenience and the situations and the tears and the sleepless nights and the knot in the gut and the lump in the throat and the tears that are rolling down and the numbness when you lose someone. Jesus is working on something bigger than Lazarus being dead. Now, I know you can sit there and say, oh, my God, Pastor, how can it be bigger when I had to lay someone to rest? Sometimes God allows things to happen in your life for you to go through it, for you to then be a testimony to those who will go through it coming in the future to let them know that you can make it if you trust in Jesus. Am I making sense, anybody? So she demonstrated past faith. So now they engage in this conversation. Jesus is talking to Martha. Martha is talking to Jesus. And look at what Jesus says. Verse 22, look at what Martha says. But I know that even now, she's still not emotional. She's still not getting all into her feelings, but she's focusing on who he is. Even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now look at Martha's answer. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So not only did Martha demonstrate past faith by saying, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Now she's demonstrating future faith that says he will rise in the resurrection of the last day. And it's good to have past faith. And it's good to have future faith. I remember back home, we used to sing old song talking about, I'm sending up my timber. That's real down south there. I'm sending up my timber for you to build the mansion. Look, God don't need your timber. God make his streets out of gold. He got stuff up in heaven that he don't see. But they were focusing on a better day and a brighter future. And they were focusing on the by and by. We have to understand that it's all right to have a past. It's all right to have a brighter day. But God wants you to have an abundant life. God wants you to enjoy life. God just wants you to learn how to live. So look now. He says, Martha said unto him, I know that this shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So she said, I even though I'm upset with you, Jesus, I believe in who you are. I believe that you are who God said you are. I believe that you and God are walking together. I've seen you do things that other people hadn't seen. I trust you, God. I trust you, Jesus. I trust your word, and I know your work. And even at this time, Jesus is sitting there, and he's saying, Martha, thank you for past faith. Thank you for having this great euphoric picture of what future faith is going to look like. But Jesus says, I don't want you to live so much in your past. And I definitely don't want you to live so much in your future that you can't enjoy your life right now. See, biblical stewardship is all about learning how to live. You know, the worst thing that a pastor has to deal with is church members who don't know how to have fun. I'm serious. You deal with some church. Not none of y'all. I'm talking about the other churches. Not none of y'all. They so tight and they so just staunch and can't move. And if something blow them here, they whole day is messed up. Man, quit taking yourself so serious. Just learn how to relax and live and enjoy life. Look, I'm going to give you a start in illumination. Guess what? You only going to get this life one time. Ain't no redos. Yeah, I said ain't. Ain't no redos. So learn how to live and enjoy life and enjoy what God brings you. Enjoy what God keeps from you. Enjoy the doors he opened. Enjoy the doors he closed. And say, God, I'm going to follow you. And if I don't get it, it's going to be all right with me. Live. Take a deep breath. Enjoy life. You know, many times for the life of the preacher, we live in such a glass bowl. This is kind of our life. Because everything we do is just kind of out for scrutiny. Every decision we make, everything you do, you know, I can't receive the word. He ain't wear a tie. Only preacher who can preach got a tie. All kind of stuff be going on. And Satan do all that to get you from being able to receive and learning how to enjoy life. Now, let me tell you, about 10 years ago, I didn't know how to enjoy life. I was always trying to live up to everybody else's standards. And then when I found out, they was as messed up as me. And instead of telling me I need Jesus, let all of us go and get to Jesus, because all of us got some areas where we need to go to the potter's house. Amen. And then when you get to that point and you take a deep breath and you just learn to live and enjoy life. You don't get what you want today, it's okay. It's okay. Just learn how to love it. Somebody disappointed you, it's okay. They ain't gonna be the last. Quit falling out. They lied to you. Guess what? They gonna lie to you again. They lied on you. Guess what? If they don't do it, somebody else is. They gossiping. It's okay. So the gossip right around the corner. Learn how to live. And biblical stewardship creates a balanced life. One of my favorite hobbies is I love going to see comedy. Black comics, white comics, Hispanic, you just gotta be funny. And I'm a laugh, and you might even say, he laugh? Yes, I laugh. I will laugh till I literally cry. I was laughing so hard one time, Paula had to say, boy, get off the floor, you're embarrassing her. Because I've just learned that I can't take life this serious. What Jesus is doing with Martha, he's saying, Martha, even though this is a serious matter for you, it's just an everyday situation for me. When you're able to rest in the hands of God, I remember that old song, the safest place in the whole wide world. Yes, yes, yes. There's something about resting in his arms. When you learn how to rest, you can get up and go to work and enjoy it when you know your boss don't want you there. You can go enjoy and say, I'm just happy that I have a job. I'm happy I have somewhere to go. And you can enjoy life. Biblical stewardship is not just about finances. That's part of it. But what's more important is being able to have a mind that's renewed and transformed. Being able to have a heart like Christ. Being able to have emotions like Christ. Being able to function and treat your brothers and sisters like Christ would. And when you can live a balanced life like that, you can learn how to laugh at stuff that really ain't even funny. I'm trying to help somebody. Y'all ain't won't be released on the day. Now watch this. So she says past face. She deals with the future face. Now look at Jesus Christ in verse number 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection That's present tense. And the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Martha, thank you for past. Martha, thank you for present. But I need a future. But I need you to have present faith and say, I am. Sometimes we have knee-jerk reactions and we forget the I am-ness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is already there waiting for you to say, look, Jesus, I can't handle this. I'm taking my hands off for you to drive. Take it where you want to go. And whatever you want for my life, I'm going to be satisfied. Jesus says, that's when you start living. Man, if you would really know how calm I be all the time. I ain't on no antibiotics. I mean, not antibiotics, no pharmaceuticals. No, I don't need no nerve pills. I don't need no shots at night. I don't need to go to the medical center with the green cross on the outside. You know, I just learned that's what it was the other day. There's a calmness that Jesus brings to your life when you just say, Lord, here I am. Take control of my life. So even, watch this, even in Martha's tense moments, she honors Jesus. And then Jesus gives her instruction. Fast forwarding the story, let's get into where we see the victory. Now watch this. All Jesus asks, pay attention, is that Martha sold a seed of faith. No finances, no money here. All I need you to do is believe that I am right now the resurrection. If you can sow that seed of faith in believing that I am, that I will bring you a harvest that you can't bring on your own. So here we have it now. We see the now faith, the past faith, the present faith, a future faith, the present faith. Now watch her seed bring about a harvest. So now Jesus is fast forward to verse 39. He says in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. The same woman who he just told, I need you to trust in me. Martha said unto him that was dead, he said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, just believe. All I need is your seed of faith, and I will bring you a harvest that you can't bring. See, it's okay sometimes to struggle with what Jesus is saying. There's nothing wrong with you. And we got to stop condemning people who struggle with what Jesus has said. We have to love them in transition. To be able to become faithful to say, I'm going to connect my faith with the word of God that has been presented. All of us are faithful to a point. And then there are points where our faith gets a little shaky. And then we have to go back and revisit and say, God, I know your word to be true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Martha now, because what we're seeing, give me a couple more minutes. What we're seeing now is the moment of truth. It is when my faith is on the brink of bringing, my seed faith is on the brink of bringing me a harvest that Martha is about to miss it. Can I talk to the Marthas in here? Male and female, Marthas. All of us in here have heard what God has said. And many times we have been right there on the brink, the threshold of getting our harvest. And then something comes and shake our faith. Something comes, some bad news, some negative spirit, some person sow a seed of doubt telling you you can't do that. You're ready to buy a house and they telling you, girl, you don't want that house. You're going to have to cut grass and you're going to have to do this. Stay in that apartment and here you are sowing into an apartment that you will never own. And there's something on the inside of you saying, I want to be a homeowner. But then you got folk around you who is saying to you, stay where you are. Look at your neighbor and tell them, get you a new group. You have to have people who are willing to push you into your next level of destiny, to push you to that next place where you step out of what has been holding you back and you say, God, if I'm going to mess up, I'm going to mess up believing and trusting in you. And God been saying the whole time, that's what I've been waiting on. Martha is right at her blessing. And then she tells Jesus, the one who's about to work it out, Jesus, you show? 4 days. Look, if nothing else, we don't know what he looked like, but we do know he stinks by now. Are you sure you want to do this? And so Jesus has to remind her, calming her spirit, dealing with her psychology, her emotion, all I need you to do is believe. Now, you have to understand, this 4 days keep popping up, right? So anytime you see, when you're reading your scripture, you keep seeing numbers. You have to study the numbers. You have to ask the questions, the significance. So when we see this 4 days, in Jewish custom, the custom is that when someone dies and you bury them, that their spirit hovers over the tomb for 3 days. And then that spirit either ascends to the heavens of heavens or it descends into what they called the ever dark place, Sheol. Uh-huh. So in other words, it would not have been uncommon for someone to get up if it was just 3 days. Oh, Lord. but because it was a fourth day, then it's no way possible, because the spirit has ascended or descended and they realize that the outer appearance is nothing, but the man is really his spirit. So when Jesus is showing up, he's not only teaching Martha that days don't number me, but he's showing everybody else that I am not bound by days. I am not bound by time. I am actually outside of time. And when I speak, time bows down to me. I wish I had some help here. That's why the old church used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Watch this now. So he deals with the 4 days issue, and then he says this. Verse 41, take away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And look at what he says. Where the dead was. See, you got to learn how to shout for the miracle happen. See, in verse 41, I didn't say it in 8 o'clock. That's why when I get in my little office, I get quiet and I reread scripture to make sure that God is still speaking to me. And I didn't say it at 8, so you getting a shout that 8 didn't get. So in verse 41, but while he was still dead, he says, show me where the dead was laid. Because anytime I show up, what used to be becomes a was in the presence of God. Now look at what he says. He begins to pray. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now verses 41 and 42 take you back to the tension. In chapter number 10, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So now he releases the tension in verses 41 and 42. Now look at the kind of prayer he prays. Do you realize that pastor might get criticized for that prayer? I told pastor to pray for some healing, and he ain't even called my name. So you do realize what Martha needs. But what Martha need, Jesus never communicate. What Jesus communicates is his relationship with God.
See, this is where the scripture now comes in and says, the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. In other words, even when I don't articulate it, if I'm right with God, God does know my heart, and God sends an answer to a heart prayer that sometimes my mind can't even speak. All he said was, thank you. See, and I believe that many more of our prayers will start being answered if we just learn how to say thank you. You ain't got to shout. You ain't got to run around the church. You ain't got to tear up the chair. Sometimes you do need to raise your hand and say, thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, Pastor, I'm doing well. It's okay. The wellness come from God. Thank you. I have my own house. Yes, but the house come from God. Thank you. I have my own car. That's good, but the car come from God. As smart as I am, Pastor, look, yeah, but your smartness come from God. So when I enter into this place, I enter with a thanksgiving in my mouth. See, some years ago when I used to be in my hooping, when I really used to hoop, one lady pulled me to the side one day and she said, you she said seem, so just she said, you seem to be an intelligent person. And you seem to be, you know, just a knowledgeable person. Why you holler like that? And I say, let me tell you why. I say, because you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. That's not arrogant. That's truthful. When I say I should have been dead and sleeping in my grave, that is the truth. But God opened up a door and he made old death behave. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So I don't have time to be all cute. I don't have time. Look, when it hit me, I'll holler. But in the meantime, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for the goodness that you have shown me. And so you can say something. God been good to all of us. That's I'm going to say it again. God been good to all of us. And so he's dealing with keeping balance. All I need from you is to sow a seed of trust. Sow a seed of faith. Some of you have children and grandchildren, and all you can say is, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do about that boy. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sow a seed, and we're going to ask God to fix his heart, to fix his mind, and when his mind come up, that's when he going to pull his pants up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we're going to bring him back on. So we have to, those of us who know better, have to become seeds. So we have to bear the infirmities of those who are weak. So we see past faith, future faith, now faith. And we see the seed of Martha and the harvest. So Jesus prays a prayer. He thanks God. And in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. All of the tension of chapter 11, of him being sick, of him dying, when she sows the seed of faith, Jesus shows up and gives her the harvest of her trust. Bring Lazarus to her. And Mary again. Now watch this. When he calls for Lazarus, there's a miracle inside a miracle. Don't miss this. He comes out of the grave, literally floating to the presence of Jesus, mummified because of the grave clothes. And then he said these words to the grave clothes, loose him and let him go. Now, this is another sermon, but I'll drop it. I'll just give you the nugget of it today. Sometimes you can be in the presence of Jesus and still be in bondage. God say, just don't get into my presence, but learn how to be loose so you can live. Learn how to be loose so you can be free, that your hands can be free and your heart can be free and your heels can be free to do the things that God have called you to do. Don't come to church and not leave happy. Don't invest 3 hours of your Sunday morning and leave without having something that can take you for a lifetime. Not just the next Sunday, but for a lifetime. Learn how to open up and say, God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in me. Do you receive that word on today?